So, hey.
All right, we'll call the Board of Supervisors for Wednesday, December 16th, 2020, to order at 8:47 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What a wonderful way to start a meeting. The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left, attendance by observation, Jurgens, Hill, Thiemann, Dorn, and Byers, with Mr. Bauman attending via Zoom. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda, approve minutes of the meeting held December 2nd, 2020, approve all claims through December 16th, 2020, in the amount of $7,311,644.34. Accept claim number 20120125 to Beatrice Lawn Care, Inc., in the amount of $220. And claim number 20120256 to Johnny's Welding, Inc., in the amount of $163.52 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of November 2020. Approve reappointment of John McKeever, Russ Sherman, and David Norton to the Gage County Variance Board for three-year terms ending 12/23. Approve utility permit number 1177 for Windstream Nebraska LLC. They will be boring 3-inch diameter, 2-pair cable, 5-foot below ditch and under township road for 70 feet to replace bad cable from pedestal number 2720J to 2791 East Aspen Road, located in the northwest quarter section 19 and southwest quarter section 18, township 6 north, range 7 east, Nemaha Township.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Dorn. Vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 20120125 to Beatrice Lawn Care, Inc., in the amount of $220, and this is a company I own.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Jurgens, second by Dorn. Vote, please.
Yes.
5 in favor, with Thiemann abstaining. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove claim number 20120256 to Johnny's Welding, Inc., in the amount of $163.52. This brings the total amount of claims approved through December 16th, 2020, to $7,312,027.86.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, seconded by Hill. Please vote. 5 in favor, with Mr. Jurgens abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. With no comments, we will move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
Dave.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have not had too much. I skipped the last two board meetings just because of lack of anything sizable going on, so I just thought I'd give a little report now. Purple Wave, we did receive a check from Purple Wave for the auction that we had with the truck and the two radio towers and miscellaneous. That was $7,737.50 and deposited to the treasurer's office. The two antenna towers have not been picked up yet. I've talked to one of the buyers, is from Oklahoma, so I've talked to him. He tried to make it up one day, and it didn't work for him that time. And I just talked to Galen at the highway department, and just we told this guy to give at least a day's notice, and then if he could come early, the latest would be early in the afternoon. So the highway guys could come down with the loader. He did say he had one truck that had a small crane on it, so he's going to try and get him himself. But if that doesn't work, we offered the highway department could help him also get that loaded. we've been just, Rosie and I have been painting over at the Veterans Office for the new Veterans Service Officer over there and just kind of organizing their office and doing small things over there. Street lights, we changed those out about a month ago. That really helped. We had, the old style was a ballast with a metal halide bulb, and for some reason they would not all work at the same time. Just troubles with the ballast and stuff, so we converted them to LED, so now there's no ballast, and they just give a nice clean light, and those bulbs should last quite a long time. So, and then the last is the heating ramp. It worked fine during this real small snow we had last Friday, and I'm pretty sure that when we get heavy snows, it's probably, you know, not going to be able to keep up. It does maintain a It's about a 75-degree temperature all the time through the boiler, so you would think it would, but I know, you know, last year we didn't have too much snow, but it really, when we did have some snow, if it's a very much of a snow, it wouldn't work. So I really think this winter, if we know we're getting heavy snow, I'll probably actually turn it off, and just I'd rather scoop out the dry snow than what it does is it'll melt, so you have about an inch of ice and then 2 inches of slush and then snow on top of it. So I might be just having to wrestle that. Hopefully we don't have large, sizable snows this winter. But and I am continuing to work. I haven't come up with a design. I know we're going to put this out for bid. But what I'm thinking is instead of relying on a heated ramp, to just try and have it more of an enclosed area so we wouldn't have to worry about that, you know, ramp issue anymore. So still working on that. So,
Are you thinking for sure an enclosed issue or issue? Are you thinking for sure an enclosed area, or have you thought about just removing and replacing that ramp again?
That's another option, too. It has always worked well. I'll say that. I wish it was bigger. It just seems like when they put it in, you know, I mean, now with these scooter carts and all that, that can't be brought in. If the system worked, the actual system is, the ramp is about 19 years old. They did change, it was a gas boiler that created the heat for the ramp, and when we did the renovation 10 years ago, we went with a electronic little heater in there, and I wouldn't recommend that again. It just seemed like we spent quite a bit of money on keeping that going. When I talk to some of the people, they always say just a simple water heater actually works about as good as anything, just keeping it, and you don't turn it on or off, you just through the winter, you just let it run and cycle through all the time, so it doesn't have that shock of, you know, having cold water to hot water going through it. So, but I'm open to options. I mean, it's the trouble I have is if we did do something large on that side and tie it into a historical building, you'd really have to make sure it looks right and, you know, honest to the building, and that's kind of a trick sometimes when you think of how far out that ramp would go. So
it's a tough one.
It is, yeah. And I mean, we've talked too about if we were ever to do the security station downstairs to make room for that also. So you run into a lot of snags when you start thinking of things like that. So
where are you at on the bus stop?
Actually, I have not put that out for bid yet. I am going to do that after the first of the year. I'll get stuff lined up. We have that plan. I just haven't done anything with that yet.
Probably not going to get done right now anyway. No. with winter, but
yeah.
Anything else for Dave?
He does a wonderful job taking care of our courthouse and taking care of our employees, and Davey, thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you.
Dave, you really do. Hopefully you know how much we appreciate that.
Thank you.
You do a great job here.
Well, it's a nice job. I appreciate it. So, and mainly, you know, this time we are, we spent a lot of time cleaning. The fogger that I had, it broke. I tried to repair it. There's some wires that melted on it. It broke again. And so then there's a couple times I borrowed the one from the sheriff's. The more I used it when I was doing it earlier, the trouble with that I had in this building is it actually created kind of a patina on everything, and when I tried to clean it off, it's almost like trying to clean off honey. So it took real hot water to get it off of the glass and everything. So I'm going to get that sprayer back, but I'll use it more in the hallways than in offices. We're mainly just wiping things down with the alcohol wipes and using anything like that. So,
well, stay safe yourself as well.
Yes, will do. Okay. Been lucky so far. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance and insurance.
Okay, large ticket items. Boswa, annual fee and one load of rubbish, $26,506. City Beatrice, quarterly EMS services, probation office lease, $62,046. Transfer funds to emergency management, $206,691. Standard appraisal services, maintenance, $20,049.50. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $44,574.26. Midwest Sales and Service, Culberts, $34,301.66. Rock On, Hauling Township Material, $11,580.03. Sat Brothers Fuel and Oil, $16,884.94. Engage Funding, $26,664.12. City Beatrice again, 9/11 service fees, $57,368.17. All these are judgment payments. Lois White, $1,602,194.77. Kathleen Gonzalez, $512,702.33. Joanne Taylor, $1,602,194.77. Thomas Winslow, $1,602,194.77. Deborah Shelton, $493,475.99. James Dean, $596,016.45. What else you want me to say?
And these payments we made to Beatrice 6 were the insurance settlement.
Those are the insurance as well as the additional for the half-cent sales tax.
That's okay. What we had in our account at that time.
And basically what we collected from insurance was just shy of $6 million. It was certainly worth going after. And this gets us right to the halfway point of the Beatrice 6 being paid off.
Correct.
Yes, it does.
And, John, you make a good point. That was a big conversation, whether we should keep fighting the insurance companies or not. We had somewhere between $200,000 and $300,000, I believe, total in spent fighting the insurance companies, with a result of approximately $6 million. So it was a very good decision. You never know that for sure until the end.
Yep.
And Roger will agree, you can be right and lose in court, and you can be wrong and win in court. And you have to take your arguments and take your best information and move forward. But that does put us past the halfway point, or right at the halfway point. Another thing to keep in mind, Senator Dorn's bill that allowed for a half-cent sales tax to be put in for federal judgments, we estimated our yearly proceeds from that to be approximately $1.33 million per calendar year initially. We are currently past, we're ahead of schedule for that. We're not past that, but we're ahead of schedule. Even with the pandemic, that is still moving forward, and I don't want to say where we may be at, but there's a good chance that we're going to exceed that by quite a ways. Anything else for finance or insurance?
Nope.
Human resources, employee relations.
We had a lengthy discussion on COVID leave that's laws and regulations that have been enacted in regards to employee time off.
Law enforcement emergency management. The sheriff is not currently here, but our emergency manager, Lisa Wiegand, is.
Everybody. I'm going to talk about zoning first. I gave you guys an updated sheet, put one on everybody's desk on the committee meeting. We're at 124 permits. I have not broke any of those permits down until the end of the year. I think I've got 9 other permits yet to add to that. I've got people are coming in. Seems like the end of the year brings a lot of subdivides and family planning. So as far as what's happening in zoning right now, we will be moving forward with a special use permit for the temporary asphalt and concrete plant for work to be done on Pickerel 77 to Highway 41. And it's being applied for by Werner Construction. And I believe they're adding another site of work to that, which will go from Farnston Highway 8 to the Summerfield Road. Help me out. What yep. number is that, 50?
99,
thank you. So that's where the two project areas are. I have not scheduled the hearing yet. I'm waiting as of today for the final approval of the driveway to be accepted by the State of Nebraska Right-of-Way Department, and then we'll move forward. So hopefully have things up to dawn by, if that goes through here, by the end of the week, to move forward for a hearing on January 12th. Zoning has not met since for the last 3 months, but we'll move forward with that hearing. We thank you for continuing to approve the variance board members. They're valuable resources for that process. And then just to let you know also that Lancaster County is reviewing their wind regulations, and they have set a hearing for their wind regulations to be reviewed for January 20th. So as far as moving on to emergency management side, the COVID update, late yesterday afternoon, we received notice from Public Health Solutions that there's a strong possibility if the Moderna vaccine is approved on Friday, that will move into our county for distribution by Tuesday or Wednesday. So we are working right now. I spent last night notifying and all the fire departments to really fine tune that notice down to, you know, who, where, what. You know, we're going with the premonition. We have to move very quickly. We've spoken for the vaccine for our first responders, for the sheriff's office and so forth, for that first essential first responders. And so, but yeah, if we can get the vaccine in and if it moves, it will be the Moderna product. And because the fact that we're not ready for cold storage, ultra cold storage here in Gage County with the hospital yet. They will get their equipment, I understand, by the middle of January for their ultra cold. So the Moderna is getting shipped, and that's what we're going to get allocated. So more details to follow. We're working through the logistics right now, and just we'll wait for Friday. We anticipate the governor will make a big announcement on that movement this morning at 10 o'clock at his press release. So
Lisa, that Moderna shot, you have to take it twice also?
It is a two-shot process, okay. And it's a 21-day space apart. So the hardest part about, you know, when any kind of vaccine comes out, it isn't until it's approved that the fact sheets are posted. The FDA comes out with that information. So the Pfizer product, it was like 35 hours after before we got to see the spec sheets on that particular drug. So hopefully by Saturday, if it is approved on Friday, we'll have it Saturday, because a lot of people are making their decisions based upon if they want it, based upon, you know, the protocols. The biggest questions with departments, of course, are we have a large number of people that have either been isolated because of had COVID, or either they were asymptomatic or they had a severe case of COVID, and so how you manage your vaccination based upon that. So a good, for instance, is if you were tested positive for COVID and you were really showed asymptomatic symptoms, had a very minor case, how soon could it be before you would be able to take the vaccination? And so that's drug specific, like with the Pfizer product. If you're asymptomatic, minor case, you can take it 14 days after. But if you had a severe case of COVID, the Pfizer product suggests that you wait 90 days. So those are the decisions that, you know, first responders have to make based upon their own personal experiences. And truly, it's all, it's their choice. You know, so, but they have to, at this point in time, if it moves like what we're anticipating it could, those will be available. They'll have to make that commitment if they want in that first round, and then otherwise they wait till general population vaccinations come forward. John, do you have anything else to add with that?
Well, I think maybe the second dose is 28 days for the Moderna vaccine.
Okay.
And regardless, whether it's 3 weeks or 4 weeks, mm-hmm. it's important that people get the second dose.
Yeah.
And follow up.
The logistics is huge, you know, in planning for once you have it. The way that our community will probably administer it will be through the immunization clinic. Those details are to be, you know, ironed out as far as for first responders. So sheriff's office, police department. So the hospital is working out those details in terms of how they sign up to make, if they've elected to take it, how they sign up and make their appointments.
Where will they put them? Elected officials, people who are meeting with the public all the time, like all of our elected
sure.
officials here in the courthouse? And
I'd have to check on the vaccination plan for the state of Nebraska, but I think you're probably looking in the C category. We're only in the A category. So depending upon how quickly that the vaccines are shipped. Although we have been told as of yesterday that the vaccine for the assisted care facilities, when they're attached, so a lot of those assisted care facilities have their pharmacy suppliers, they're already hooked to a CVS or a community pharmacy program, so they will be getting the Pfizer product, and it could be administered as early as the last week in December. But they will be working.
So our nursing homes will fall into that category?
Yes, they do. They do. So we're at the latest, probably the first or second week in January, it will start to go to those facilities through their community pharmacy bank. Since they can manage ultra-cold storage, then they will be the ones to go into that facility with nurses and help, you know, get that product.
So for the time being, through the next several months, we need to just follow the directions that we have now as far as social distancing, as far as small groups coming together. And
yeah, Denny, nothing changes there. I mean, precautionary, still wearing your mask, all those things.
Okay.
It doesn't, just because you take the vaccine doesn't
we just say, need to let people
to
understand that.
Lisa, and I don't know if this is what you're getting at, Denny, some people, whether they're elected or not, because of other health conditions and such, they may be on a higher level of getting the shot sooner, not because they're elected, but because of other pre-existing conditions or whatever the case may be.
Right. Yeah. So all those drug specs, you know, won't come out into as far as precautions that, you know, those people that have asthma or taking certain drugs won't be released until that fact sheet comes out to us where their doctors have to, you know, give them the best precautionary measures before you take it. So,
and certainly, Denny, you know, now it's more important than ever that people step up their mask wearing and social distancing and, you know, the precautions that they need to be taking, because there is a vaccine, but it ain't going to do any good if you've already had COVID.
Right.
And we need to cut the rate down until it can get rolled out.
Well, I go into public places, grocery store, what have you, and I see people coming in without masks and doing business and just are ignoring any kind of protection for themselves or for the people around them, and it really frightens me.
Yep.
That's really all I have, unless you have questions for me.
Back to zoning.
Yeah.
Just as an update for anybody that might be wondering, we do have a hold for the P&Z board on wind farms currently. on permits going in. Because of our regulations right now, no one's beating down the door to get a permit in. But as an update, do we know when they may be discussing that again or the next time they may be meeting, just for an update for the public?
Yeah, definitely. We'll go back and on the agenda will be just to revisit, you know, where we, you know, where we stopped, you know, the action that the board had. We do know that we need discussion on villages, you know, that perimeter around villages. I think that can, you know, so it's consistent with what you as a board have made as a recommendation with your 1 mile. They're also at 1 mile, too. But conversation needs to be had on that. That'll, I would think, would be a fairly easy conversation to have. I say that fairly easy. But yeah. You said it, nothing's fairly easy anymore.
Explain that easy to me again.
Well, but yet you want consistency, I think, with your what you have as existing setbacks with what you intended for precautionary measures for your villages. So that's the conversation that I was more alluding to. We've been given a packet of information from the wind group, you know, to review, and so we'll do that. But as a group, we have not done that. And we also will be interested to see what Lancaster County does, you know, with reviewing their regulations again. Having that information that they present, their health department presents, really is scientifically backed information. So anytime that we can study what they're doing helps too. Not saying we have to mirror exactly, but their peer review studies are truly analyzed.
Unfortunately, in today's world, the scientific backing always backs both sides, depending on who's presenting.
Yep, it does.
Whether it's with COVID or wind turbines or anything.
Well, and the scientific community doesn't back both sides. A lot of times early trials, you know, different trials end up with different results, but then eventually you get enough trials and you come to a conclusion. Unfortunately, there's commentators out there that will put out both sides, and they keep referring back to those single trials that proved a different point, but the consensus proved something else. And the consensus is masks work. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's no reason not to listen to. I mean, I think that's one of the things people don't know who to listen to. Right now, I would say to listen to your medical community and your medical community of UNMC, Bryan Healthcare, CHI, BCH are all begging for people to wear their masks and requesting them to wear masks. And there's just no doubt about it. They work. And we need to step it up so the vaccine could get rolled out.
I agree with you. We need to listen to those entities. They're very good. They're giving us good information. Whether we like it or not, it's good information. We need to pay attention.
I did hear our COVID beds at the hospital are down from, we've got 14, and we're down to 4 or 5 beds being occupied right now. As of yesterday.
Yes.
That's good.
That's a major step forward, that's what the hospital said, and they said that was from people being responsible, being careful, going through multiple steps to try to slow the spread.
And that's what we need, and, you know, unfortunately, we can fill them back up in a hurry. You know?
Yeah, that doesn't mean they stay empty. That's just where they're at right now. That's a spot check, and that's it.
Yep.
Yeah, the numbers at the Test Nebraska are still holding steady. I mean, we're not seeing numbers decrease. Of this. People are still taking tests, so I'm not sure what their numbers are. Yesterday, I didn't check in with them, but Monday night's test results were at the same level. So that testing will go on yet today and tomorrow night.
I had someone ask me the other day, why is there no flu this year?
Y'all been wearing your masks. Sorry.
I'd fly the BS flag on that one. Why is there no flu this year?
Well, I think there's two reasons. One, fortunately, people were pretty responsive and got flu shots. But the second of it is, flu is not nearly as contagious as the coronavirus. And with social distancing being done partially for the coronavirus, it's probably more than effective for the flu. But the flu is still due to hit. I mean, normally our flu hits between now and late February.
So it's timing.
Well, it's timing, but the fact that people are separated and wearing masks more is cutting down on the flu even more than the coronavirus, because the flu is less contagious.
And a tremendous number of people have followed through and gotten their flu shots.
And they have.
And maybe the flu vaccine was receptive this year, or effective.
And very well
year.
Could be, yes.
Nobody's traveling.
And that's another reason.
Makes a difference,
yep.
too.
Yep.
Since the flu is not spreading at all this year, everybody would be more susceptible to it next year.
Probably. They'll be weaker. Have you had any updates on... Well, no, I won't ask that.
Okay. And Gary, that's certainly possible, but the flu's got so many variants out there that next year's is probably going to be different than this year, so it probably won't make for a worse flu season next year.
I think as you go along and we learn more about the coronavirus, I think you're going to find there's a lot of different variants of it, too.
Right. And there can be variants happening all the time, and...
We'll move on from there, though. I mean, there's very differing opinions on this board on the coronavirus, just like many other things. But from there, anything else for emergency management or law enforcement? Thank you, Lisa.
Yep.
We'll move on to road and bridge. Mr. Juergens.
Galen also had some things on Purple Ways. These are approximate. A trailer, around 15,000. The air compressor, 2,200. The two hammer post drivers, 2,500 for both. The IHC tractor, $2,000. Galen has filled the operator 2 position on the bridge crew. Discussion on 2 township culvert projects by Cortland. Recommended to raise one site and get sizing study on the other. Had discussion on additional miles of asphalt and or a motor grader. Pavers have asked if there's any... work that we would have in this area for next year. With that being said, Galen has some numbers. I'd like to have him come up here and give those to us.
Roughly on last year's overlays that we've done 10.3 miles of overlay on these. And the original contract amount was $2,698,648.75. And out of that amount, we actually spent $2,303,398.50. The reason behind that is in these bids, when they're made up, there's... for each segment of road, they put in there an estimated tonnage for possible patching that needs to be done as they go in and mill and start overlaying those roads. Now, the county did go in prior, especially on the Pickerel East, and we've done quite a bit of patching before this overlay was started. So we got very lucky on these roads, and we had very minimal patching that the contractor had to do. So that being, we had a remaining balance of approximately $395,000 that we didn't use in because of the patching that wasn't required by the contractor. So, and at this time, we have a retainage of just a little over $8,000 that we... held back on that in case we wanted to continue on with a few more miles after the first of the year and do some more overlaying off of these prices. So, and basically, when this bid was put up for those 10.3 miles, when you average that out, it was estimated at $262,000 a mile, and our overlay cost on these 10.3, since we had that hold back on the patching, was actually $223,630 per mile is what it averaged out on those 10.3 miles.
So we actually have about a mile on the existing contract that we bid. We've got a mile and three quarters, rough numbers,
roughly,
left over in that contract for approved money. There were two stretches that you said were the worst. One was 19th Street North, and another one was Holmesville, Blue Springs.
South of Holmesville to Blue Springs, yes.
And we were going to discuss that some more. There's some money that we could put towards a project, not a lot of money because we spent a lot of money. Would you want to look at those two roads to decide which is worse, or do you know which one?
Yeah. I'll take another closer look at both of them, and there was a couple others that I looked at, but the ones right now that I have in my memory are those two that we talked about are the worst out of the ones that I had looked at previously. So, but I will take another look at all the roads.
And if the board would think about that, Mr. Juergens?
The reason this is coming up now, it might seem at an odd time to discuss roads for next year, but Pavers is wanting to lock in oil cost for next year. So they want to have some kind of, I mean, correct if I'm wrong, Galen, they want to have some kind of an idea how much oil they can prepay or they can lock in.
Yes.
For the next coming year, because you know we've been had you know low prices on fuel, oils, and everything else for quite a while. I can't see it staying this low. I'd assume that that upcharge, I mean, I think eventually is going to happen. I just found out yesterday from our steel supplier that sheets and plates and tubes, which is all made out of sheet metal and plate, it will almost double in the short term here. Simple supply and demand. There's no supply. You think what that's going to do, and these big companies got this locked in probably further than most, but cars, sheet metal, all that is used in a lot of manufacturing. So I don't know, that's a thing that scares me a little bit. I mean, it held its level when the wood jumped, and it didn't. I said, well, we're going to get through this thing, but now it's showing, and it's going to be there. So,
Terry, why do you think the metal seen the big jump now?
No supply. Sheet metal, historically, all the common flats and angles are Nucor products made locally. Norfolk, small mini mills make all that stuff. But the sheets are the things that are not, a lot of them are imported. A lot of them come across the pond, Canada, whatever. And those got, like everything else, the supply chain was slowed down enough that the demand this time of year is high, because short lines are all doing their manufacturing for next year, and that supply isn't there.
So it's
that's
just
the main drag of
it's
it.
It's a backup in the
yep.
process.
Yep. And I got off the subject here, but it interested to me. Yep. I mean, down the road, and what I was trying to get at, you know, fuel oils, gasoline could go the same route. I'm not saying doubling, but they could. You could see a healthy increase mm-hmm. again next year. So,
I think just recently you saw. I think Russia made an agreement with OPEC, with the OPEC countries, to work together at controlling inventories too. So, but as long as you have COVID fears and everything else, and people are slower than. Fuel prices are going to stay down.
Yeah. U.S. producing more oil doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, if you could look at those and get back to us at committee meetings in a couple weeks, that'll be something we can talk about and decide if we want to extend this contract out a little bit, because it would be a good time. We had a great product. Mr. Hill?
And we are allowed to extend this contract because there's still a little bit of an unpaid balance to it into next year. And everybody is in agreement that pavers did an excellent job last year and satisfied throughout the county everywhere they worked.
Absolutely. But yeah, I mean, that's something we can talk about, Mr. Dorn.
On Pickerel East, when the culverts get replaced,
yes,
who's going to do the overlay?
We are.
You are?
Yes.
Because I thought maybe that's why, you know, the bid or actual cost was probably a little lower.
Well, there's part of that involved in this also, because there is a, we held back from the, where we were going to actually, in the spring, replace those culverts. So we held back and tapered down to a minimum just to get a ride throughout the winter on that. So there is some tonnage for that also on here, so.
If we can buy from the Werner plant, though, I mean, you've got several places to patch. Rockford Township on both bridge approaches, that box culvert, and then that culvert on Pickerel also.
Yes.
There may be some savings there also having a close plant and reduced trucking on it, too. Mr. Juergens?
I'd just like to make a comment. If it wasn't for the constant bitching by Mr. Hill about these roads, we would have probably never got them done.
Okay? I don't know about that, but I...
Mr. Hill did have a... Mr. Hill did have an insistent push all the time for these southern roads.
I would say I had more of a push on doing the armor coating throughout the county on a consistent basis, which Galen has got them all on schedule and keeping them up.
So. Which Galen has a rough job on that. When we were talking about getting those back on schedule, which they are, we were reminded a board had those on schedule, or Galen had those on schedule. A board at some point in time decided we're not going to do that anymore, so that was taken off the schedule. At least right now it's back on. I think you're going to be able to coast out on this one, Galen, but we'll see what the next board says again. But we do appreciate that and the patience there. Anything else for Road and Bridge? All right. Thank you, sir. Up next, approve or disapprove the resolution directing the county highway superintendent to make a report on possible minimum road classifications.
Resolution number 20-31.
20-31, Don?
Yes.
Can't hear you through your mask.
I'll speak up. 20-31, Gary.
Thanks.
And what that is a cabin or something being built, they want to take a minimum maintenance road classification back to local, if I remember right, from Monday.
Huh? Are they doing the whole road or just part of it?
It was a part. I don't know what I did.
About a quarter of a mile, if it's the one I know of.
I think that's right, Gary. I don't remember what I did with that. Yeah, this one. So it would be...
John should know.
Island Grove.
Yeah.
West quarter mile of Island Grove 16 South. Do you know what's being built there?
I'm not sure what's being built there.
I mean, this isn't approving it, it's just approving the study to do it. But I would ask for a motion to direct the highway superintendent with that request.
It was a shop. Lisa, it was a shop, wasn't it? Shop-type cabin type thing?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn to approve resolution 20-31. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries.
7
in favor. Motion carries.
7 comes right after 6, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry, I got stuck with my thumb. Discuss and approve or disapprove 911 agreement between Gage County and the City of Beatrice for a term ending on June 30th, 2023. We discussed this at length on Monday. I guess now would be the time to give those inputs, make a motion, and include the items we talked about. And I'll just lay them out, the ones that we did discuss. Increasing or decreasing the time to the governing board formation to June 2021. So June 1st, 2021, 2022, June 1st, 2022, we would have the governing board in place. We checked on the liability issues. That is still up in the air, but as soon as I think we're liability free, we don't know. We've operated this way for a long time. Roger, did you get an opinion on that, or did Amanda tell you?
We went through this thing, and again, I'll go back to when I first came up here. Matt was very involved in this process, as well as my chief deputy at that time, Judge Schreiner now, and they examined this at length. I mean, this is one of those issues that, you know, it seems simple enough as far as we go out and negotiate on behalf of people. That's, quite frankly, from a lawyer's perspective, that's the quickest way to get sued. I'll just put it that way and leave it at that. You want to stay away from that stuff, folks. And the city wants it, they can go out and negotiate it. I'll leave it at that. Because, again, the thing is, when you tie yourself to that, you're coming into the argument, and it's important for, you know, they have able counsel too, and I know Matt went through that. I remember having some meetings up in our office when you were talking about this, and I think Dr. Rice was even involved in some of this stuff extensively, and I just hate to see you go back and replow that ground. I'm not aware of any law changes that protect us anymore. I know NERMA always is happy when we isolate ourselves from potential liabilities. And so I just caution you with that. And again, it's a situation I think the city can resolve it. They can go out and negotiate these things. It'd just be more convenient for us to do that. Well, I got a $30 million tag that I'm still hurting on. So let's reduce that exposure. And that'd be my recommendation.
See,
Eric, I don't think we're ready to vote on it. I kind of felt the same way as what Roger's saying. I kind of felt like that was what somehow that needs to be separated out, and I don't think we're ready. I don't think we're ready to put a motion on the floor that separates the fire departments from us.
I totally agree. If I were to vote on it at this point, I would have to vote to disapprove.
Okay, and that goes along with Mr. Bauman's concerns as well. Do you want to put the other two pieces of this to the city as far as the governing board and the flat rate at $215,000 or any proposed dollar amount? The reason I ask this, they have continued to ask us if we'll get an agreement in place. Obviously, if we're not going to accept the liability on that, we can't put a full agreement in place, but we can potentially move forward on that part. Of course, the dollar amount may completely change if there's an agreement with each of the rural fires. There was another option brought up that there could be potentially an agreement drawn up by the city, sent to each of the or the county, but I mean it would be more appropriate from the city, I assume. Something drawn up that goes to each of the rural fires, rescues, everyone like that that we're paying for, that they sign, send to the county, and we sign, and it says basically we are agreeing to have Southeast 911 dispatch as paid for by the county or something like that. Does that seem reasonable?
I think we could work on something. Again, the cooperative effort obviously is beneficial for everyone. And I'm not saying that. It's just a matter of insulating this so that we don't have some situation where we're drug into a case and there's a connection that they can latch on to. So, yeah, I think you know, working with Taylor and Toby, I think we can come up with some language. We should be able to do that.
So if that's agreeable to the board, we could present that to the city that says, here's our, we want an agreement signed by rurals and us, a price tag, and governing board in place by June 1st, 2022. Because this isn't a contract. This is us saying this is our proposal that we approve. Mr. Lytle.
Roger, could we go ahead and move forward with a motion? contingent on that getting done?
I think you could do that, or you, and again, I, yeah. You know, the two ideas you're also talking about, I think, are pivotal from the county's perspective to keep the process moving with the idea we're going to work on this behind the scenes. Well, not behind the scenes, but I mean, you know, as also an important element, but you know, so that you get the dollar numbers, you know, you don't waste a couple more weeks just
right.
bouncing numbers back and forth.
Because that part, that would be something for council to go back and forth and then Roger to present to us and say, hey, I'm okay with this. This answers your questions or concerns.
I mean, the numbers are up to you guys.
I'd be willing to make a motion with what we had to work with to start with. The $215,000 would be the flat rate with no increase over the next 2 years, from year two to year three. We want the date of June of 2022 for the governing board to be set up for the operation of Southeast Nebraska Dispatch Center. And then what was the other item?
The letters.
Can't hear you through
fire
the mask on.
Having a letter of understanding.
Oh, yeah,
between
and then the contingency that the letter from the city to the fire departments for them to approve or accept the use of Southeast Nebraska Dispatch with the county paying for it continuing, but they're approving the use of it. Correct, Roger?
Can work with
that's
that.
That's yeah. the wording we'd want to have in there.
That sounds good.
And have Roger work back and forth with city on that.
Yep, that'd be my motion.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Juergens. I'll just rehash this really quickly then. Governing board said this will be what we're presenting back to the city. These changes to the presented contract. Governing board put in place by June 1st, 2022. $215,000 flat rate for the term of the contract and letters of understanding between the city and each of the rural fire, rescue, anyone else using the system other than Gage County, who's paying for the use of it for the Sheriff's Department and Emergency Management. Any discussion on this? Any further discussion on this?
Not okay with that?
Mr. Bauman?
I would just say that I appreciate the service that the City of Beatrice provides. I think they provide a quality service. I think these are just some things, contractual language and assurances to limit liability of the county that need to be addressed. My understanding, we don't have any jurisdiction over the fire districts, which is why I think this needs to be addressed and has been an issue for me for possibly 12 years. There are options for the county to go do something different with other dispatch agencies very near to us. And then Beatrice could continue to work with the fire districts so they choose. So that's an option. But I believe that the best option is to maintain that relationship with the city and the infrastructure that's there, work collaboratively, just clean up the language and decrease any potential liability that at least Danny and I and several of the board members have dealt with for years now that never was anticipated. And I think it would be prudent for the county to try and look over their shoulder and make sure moving forward we're in a good position.
Well said, Matt. With that, I would ask for a vote. Seven in favor. Yes. The motion carries. We will get that sent over to the city. They'll appreciate that. I really appreciate the board working back and forth on this. By going back and forth with this, it does show the care and concern for each contract the county does enter into. Anything else for the good, or as Denny would ask, the bad of the order?
Sure.
If not, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn at 9:41.
Still move.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, seconded by Juergen. Hill, please vote. Six in favor, one voting against. Mr. Bauman voting against. Motion carries. We are adjourned at 9:41 on the clock.
How did I call that before you even called for it?